We have some landscaping, as you saw in the design or in the site plan. You know, it's somewhat minimal to the size and the breadth of the operations there. So what we're looking for is hopefully any additional buffer that could be considered, or soundproofing that could be considered, in order to help mitigate any future conflicts with the residents.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Holford. I just wanted to ask you a couple questions. Have you had any discussions with the applicant team thus far?
We have not.
Okay. And I think one thing that we discovered, and I should disclose that I did have ex parte communications with Ms. Holbert to discuss notice to the solid waste department and their operations and some perceived impacts from this new apartment building being added here. So Ms. Holbert, can you, did you ever receive notice about the solid waste, about this application, and what do you think happened with that notice?
Madam Chair, no, I did not receive any notice. And in looking at where the notice was mailed, it went to the city legal department. And I just don't know, you know, what happened to it after it was delivered to city legal.
Okay. So it appears the applicant met their notice requirements, but it, I'm sure also with COVID, regular mail going into the city, and I've had this experience with mail that I've had, it's not getting identified clearly, and actually two people, as a lot of people are not working in the offices. And so that's been a little bit of a gap on this project. Ms. Holbert, did you receive notice when the rezoning case was going through last fall of 2020?
Madam Chair, no, I, to my knowledge, I did not receive notice of that as well.
Okay, thank you. Okay, and then you, we'll go on to the next speaker. You do have opportunity to ask questions at the end of DRB comments. So you might want to think about that opportunity if you choose to use it. Are there any other members of the public that wish to speak on items 3, 4, and 5 on Modesto? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone.
Madam Chair, I think there's a Dan Regan on the line.
Yes. Okay. Mr. Regan, can you go ahead and unmute?
I think I just did.
Oh, there you are. Okay. Please introduce yourself, give us your address, and I will swear you in.
My name is Daniel Regan. I'm at 4109 Chama Street, Northeast. I represent the Zoning and Development Committee for District 4 Coalition.
Mr. Regan, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay, go ahead with your comments.
I would like to hold my comments until the rest of the discussion that needs to happen with regard to item 3 on the agenda has occurred. Is that okay?
Let me think a moment here. We were taking these items together, but you're saying you want to give comment on item 3 only?
I'm fine giving comment on all 3 of the ones that apply to this site, 3, 4, and 5. But I just want to hear what everybody else is going to say prior to giving my comments, and prior to any motions being made.
Okay, what's a little tricky about that is that's not our order of proceeding. We normally have public comment, we have DRB comment, and we give you a chance to do cross-examination questions. Give some preliminary comment at least. Okay.
I will go forward. I am hopeful that all DRB members received and have reviewed and read my input dated 3/29/21 that got revised on 4/7/21 and shared with the coordinator for that. Where to start? The comp plan says that the city's goal, one of the city's goals, is to preserve, protect, and enhance established neighborhoods, single-family homes. The implementation of the IDO in multiple cases has basically said we don't have to meet that goal. And I believe if you look at the current screenshot that's there, you've got all the homes backing up on the north side. You've got homes on the east side. And the apartment complex that is being proposed does not preserve, protect, or enhance those residential areas that have been well established. One of the major pieces that I have, and I'll be interested to see comments from the DRB members, the parking proposal for this project is not only insufficient, it almost approaches a joke. They are putting 172 beds in the proposed apartments. They are proposing to have 174, I think is the number. They're proposing that exact number of parking spaces. If you look carefully at the surrounding areas, and we've seen several views of it today, there is no off-site parking that can sanely be done without jeopardizing the safety of all the neighbors. There is no parking that is going to be designated on this site according to their plans that is visitor parking. Given the transportation issues for this site, the ability of people to walk out of their apartment home and get on to public transportation is a great distance, and or it is risky, and or it doesn't exist. So also, given where this is and given everything that surrounds it, getting on a bicycle and trying to get to the nearest bus stop is kind of nuts, because you got to go on Alameda and you got to go all the way past I-25. The consideration of this site without understanding the next proposed site that you guys are going to take up shortly at San Pedro, in between, I think it's Eagle Rock and whatever the street is north of that. You are infilling at a number one unreasonable and number two risky amount of automobiles. In my statement that I submitted, you already have traffic problems in that area. The using a designation of Alameda as a multimodal corridor to justify more multifamily development in the area is sadly disingenuous. There are no real public transportation availability within ease of both of those sites. You don't have the infrastructure there, and the applicant for the zone change noted in the following in its application material, but the NOD did not echo it, let alone place any requirement that service needs to be increased before the redevelopment can go forward as set forth in the EPC staff report for PR 2021-004920 project, the one that you're going to be considering on San Pedro. This is odd since the Peaks, this project, is further from the multimodal corridor and services. Ms. Fishman mentioned that they had a supplemental submission of new site plan changes last week. I would like to understand whether or not those site plan changes went to any neighborhood organization or any coalition. I have been kind of busy and occupied with multiple other things. I could have gotten them sometime last week and blown by them, but I don't think I did. And if I didn't, then where does that leave a neighborhood or anybody in the being impacted by this while this meeting goes on? And I would be open to not, well, you call it cross-examination. I'd be willing to just have some dialogue after everything else goes on. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Regan. I want to do one thing before we proceed. And if you look at the colored air photo map on the screen, I just want to kind of guide you and anyone who's confused about these applications. So item number 3 is a site plan that is in effect now that covers, Mr. Rodenbeck, can you kind of draw this on with your cursor? Next to the transfer station is a site development plan for Industrial Park, and it is, go ahead and draw the outer perimeter of that area. Okay. Mr. Rodenbeck, it includes the parcel to the north. So the site development plan that's in effect includes these two parcels, the rectangle where you can see all the trailers and things, and then the rectangle where you can see industrial buildings have been built. So that the site plan amendment is to remove this northern rectangle that has construction materials from the site development plan for an industrial park and just leave the southern rectangle. Item number 3. Item number 4 is a new site plan that covers this elongated rectangle on the north. So it includes, Mr. Rodenbeck, are you going to draw this for me?
Are you wanting me to cite the new site plan, the area?
Yes. Yeah, since you're using a pen, go ahead and draw the outer perimeter of that site plan area.
Sorry for the, it's everything in the red box. This is the new site plan.
So, and that includes Lot 8A, 11, and 12, as shown on the agenda. And then item number 5 is the plat for that same geographic area that includes 3 vacations as well. So I just kind of want to make sure that's clear to everyone who might be interested in this case. The 3 different actions, they all relate to trying to get the same apartment project built, but they have slightly different geography and slightly different purposes. Okay, is there any other member of the public that wishes to speak on this case? Okay. Okay, is there someone with a phone number 469-270-3758 that's trying to speak? Okay, I'm not sure who that is. Okay, well, we'll open that opportunity up. Does anyone know that phone number? Okay, at this point in time, let me go to Ms. Fishman for her responses to public comment, or anyone else you want to have on the applicant team respond.
Madam Chair, thank you. This is Jackie Fishman again with Consensus Planning. I also just wanted to point out that the applicant is on the call with me as well if he wants to speak. In terms of solid waste, I appreciate Ms. Holbert going through the explanation of how trucks go in and out of the transfer station. I believe we have addressed the issues of that adjacency through the wall height, the sound attenuation, and landscape. In terms of notification, that's an internal city function. But I would also, and I can't speak to whether the planning department adequately notified solid waste, I guess we notify solid waste because they're adjacent neighbor. So I can testify that we did so, but in terms of the other part of that notification, I would point out that we met with solid waste at least twice talking about this site plan. And we had solid waste signature on the site plan prior to us making the submittal. So that should be part of your record. In terms of the changes that have occurred to the site plan since last week, those were all responding to the DRB members' comments. They didn't require a redesign. Again, we noted that the wall was going to be heightened. We noted the disclosure statement, which is site note number 15, and that was on request by the DRB members. And then we also added heed note 35, also by request of the DRB members. And then there were a couple things from transportation, a couple of key notes that were inaccurately identified. And so that was really just cleaning up some of the notes. In terms of any redesign, that hasn't really occurred. So Mr. Regan, if he was, I don't believe he was on the call last week, but if he had been following that conversation, he would know what the comments were that you all provided to us, and that we did respond to those. One thing that I haven't mentioned today, again, is we do have a single family subdivision to the north, and that's zoned MXL. We have a single family lots right adjacent to the same boundary. And I'm just very respectfully wanted to ask Solid Waste and the planning department, what were the requirements that were placed on that subdivision to the north? And that's, I always forget the name of it. Like Vista, Serena, that's the Pulte subdivision. It's only been there a couple years.
Ms. Fishman, this is Chair Wolfley. That subdivision doesn't share a boundary with the solid waste facility.
Okay, it's pretty, it's close. I mean, it's as close or maybe even closer. That first lot to the north is very close to the solid waste northeast corner of their property. So
So Ms. Fishman, with that regard, I want to get that point clarified. Can you bring up a map again, Mr. Rodenbeck? I don't know if you have an air photo of this site. Might be easiest.
This is Dave Rodenbeck. I don't have it. I didn't pull up the GIS map because Ms. Fishman had the aerial. I can go.
There's an air photo in the application. Let me see if I still have something up.
This is Jeremy Schell, Respec. Right, what you have on the screen displays what Jackie is trying to say with the proximity of the subdivision to the north and the community center.
Okay, for some reason, all I have on the screen is someone's phone. Are you showing a map, Mr. Rodenbeck? I don't know what's happened to my
screen. This is Jay Rodenbeck. I have the combination of the aerial and the zoning of the site along with the landscape plan sheet from the site plan, and I have the plat. So I have, but I do show the aerial in the southwestern portion of this depiction.
Okay, go ahead and put up what you have and let's see if I can, because this is something I looked at very carefully when I did a site visit.
Madam Chair, this is Maggie Gould. I can also share my screen and I have Aegis up as well.
If you think you've got something good, Aegis has the 2020 air photo.
Yeah.
Aerials, okay. And Mr. Kassam, I see your hand up. We'll get to you in just a moment.
Okay. So are we seeing this?
Correct.
Okay. So the solid waste convenience center is here. This is the site of the proposed apartments. And then is that existing residential subdivision, I believe, that Ms. Fishman was speaking about.
Okay. So you can see that there is... along the homes that are south of Yaqui Way, there is a 20-foot or so easement along there, which provides some distance, and there's no point of actual tangency between, well, I guess there's one minor point of tangency. And I think that's a single family home that's right on that corner. And so there is quite a bit more buffering, and if we need to, I have some pictures I took of the area, but it's a it's not 5 feet away from these, from the building where all the activity is going on. I think that's the point to keep in mind. And I just wanted to make that clarification in the record. Mr. Kassam?
If I could just, Mr. Kassam responds, you just made the statement that the single family house isn't 5 feet away from the building, and neither would this this apartment building, our westernmost building, would not be 5 feet away from the solid waste building either. So just a point of clarification.
Thank you, Ms. Fishman. Okay, Mr. Kassam, I'm going to need to get your name, address, and swear you in.
Hazel Kassam, applicant, 5051 Journal Center.
Mr. Kassam, do you swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead with, and the part we're at is kind of feedback to public comment, just to help us keep track of where we're at. Did you want to give some feedback on that?
No feedback. I think Jackie did a great job with that. The only few comments I have to say is that we've owned this property for about 15 years. We understand the noise that comes from the transfer station. Additionally, I do own a few of the Eagle Rock units still. Four out of the 11 units in the Eagle Rock Business Center, and I also have developed 367 apartments just right around the corner. So I'm well aware of what it takes for to develop multifamily units. What are the tolerance levels for the tenants that I would have and will have, and by me providing additional height on that wall, additional SDC ratings on the window and wall of the westernmost building, I do feel that it is adequate. So I just wanted to throw my two cents out there, but that's about it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kassam. I'm just curious, is it your intention to manage these apartments for several decades?
I don't know what my long-term goals are. Short-term, yes.
Okay, thank you. And while we're on the issue of the STC standards, I had building safety give me some information. Because you have a note on your site plan that has no real enforceability. And so building safety gave me standards that include 50, which is loud sounds faintly heard, and 60 plus good soundproofing. Most sounds do not disturb neighboring residents. When I visited the site, and this was after, it wasn't closed, but it was after the public was on the site, and it was very noisy then, like extremely noisy. And so I'm wondering if there's an STC rating that you're willing to apply to your site plan so that can be enforceable when you go through the next phase of development.
Madam Chair, this is Jackie with Consensus Planning. I would certainly agree with that, but I would like someone from Humphreys Architects who designed these buildings, if Valen could weigh in, I think that would be helpful.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead. This is kind of going a little bit into planning comments and slightly out of order, but I think we're there, so let's do it. Let's go ahead.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. Actually, Ryan McLean, he's the architect of record. He just logged on if you want to ask him that question.
Okay, Mr. McLean? First, we need to have you unmute. If you're on your phone, Maggie, is it star six?
Yes.
Let me check. Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Yes, we can.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good morning, Mr. Klein. Please go ahead and introduce yourself, your firm, and your address, and I will swear you in.
Thank you. My name is Ryan McLean with Humphreys and Partners Architects. Our address is 5339 Alpha Road, Suite 300, Dallas, Texas, 75240.
Mr. McLean, do you swear for him to tell the truth?
I do.
Okay. So my first question for you is, have you actually visited the site and heard the noise and seen the Waste Transfer Center operation open?
I have not personally, no.
Okay. The specific question related to the STC, and this is not my area, but there is a note on the site plan that's been added that all windows and walls directly facing the Solid Waste Convenience Center will exceed the STC sound transmission class standard requirements to further mitigate sound from the Solid Waste Convenience Center to the residential units. I don't know if you heard, I gave some numbers, STC 50, STC 60 plus, which were in a table provided by our building safety division. Okay. Is there a number that we can place with that note so that they know what to implement when this would come through?
We can certainly look at that. Per the International Building Code right now, the code minimum for field test STC is 45. That's typically within the building from unit to unit. The code actually requires that the assemblies themselves maintain a minimum of STC 50. There's no requirement typically for exterior walls, but that's what we're proposing. So STC 60 is difficult to achieve because STC is exponential, and I won't get into, you know, a long explanation, but so committing to an STC 60 that's one of the reasons we did not put an STC number on the plan itself. But if Madam Chair, if the DRB would like us to commit to a minimum, we can certainly do that.
Okay, let's kind of leave that on hold for now, because I'm not sure what that number should be. That's outside my wheelhouse. But I think we do need to have a commitment there so that we know what we're approving and how it's going to function in the future. Okay. All right, let's go now to DRB member comments, starting with Water Authority.
Good morning, everyone. Blaine Carter for the Water Authority. Regarding the various cases in front of us for the site plan amendment, we do not have objection to that moving forward. We're handling the various requirements with the other applications. On the site plan, for the record, availability statement 210206 has been issued and provides the conditions for service. We have approved the waterline route with the engineer that went through the site. And for the record, the gated access from the water meter vault to the south is required for this project. That's on one of the notes, but just for the record, we want to make sure that doesn't get lost as this project moves along. Regarding the infrastructure list, we had a comment regarding under the sewer section, it's listed as public water main. I thought that was just a Scrivener's thing, but it's actually that we're missing one line. There should be a public water main and a public sewer main required extension in the Modesto Avenue portion along that frontage. That's both water and sewer. So we're missing a line for the water. And as well, the comment provided was related to sewer being listed as water. So we need that line added to the infrastructure list. So I think you'll be back for that one. But The other note on the infrastructure list was just a requested clarification. It is, I think, listed accurately, but the sewer, the southwest corner of lot 23A, that does require a private extension across lot 23A. So I think the sewer service connection to public sewer main, including private sewer extension, would be a more precise way to list that. And we'd request that clarification with the infrastructure list update. So that's items on the infrastructure list that's related to site plan. That's all I had on site plan. Related to the platting actions and the vacations of easements, we have no opposition to the gas or the PNM vacations. Regarding the waterline easement, we do require a paper easement to be generated. We did receive that in the submittal. I've been reviewing that. I think that will be something that will be either a condition of delegation, or if it's resolved prior to then, we can handle it that way. But I think we have what we're looking for on that vacation for us. On the plat itself, our concerns are related to easements, and particularly the ones crossing to the south. We have an existing public water main that runs north-south across lot 23A, which is the existing industrial park to the south. And just a question for the applicant, either Jeremy or Denise, was is there an easement that benefits that water line today? And if so, if someone could comment on what that might be. I'm not seeing one. We're seeing a new easement being generated by paper, and I didn't know if there was one existing that might cover a portion of that, reducing the amount of paper easement needed for that public water line. So I'll stop there briefly just to provide an opportunity for the applicant team to provide feedback on that item, either Jeremy or Denise or Jackie, anyone who has that information. Thank you.
Okay, any questions for Mr. Carter?
Hi, Blaine, this is Jeremy with Respect. I think I can address the site plan comments, and I'll let Denise speak to the plat comments.
Sure.
For the infrastructure list, I had submitted to Jay, and Jay, I just sent you an email again, so it should be at the top of your inbox. So if you could pull that up, I'd appreciate it. I corrected the infrastructure list in regards to the sewer main, so that I did recognize that error. And as you can see here on the infrastructure list he's pulling up, we do have the line item added for public water main under the water, the last item under water for Modesto Avenue. And we also have the sewer extension for the same under sewer. So I did correct that, and we have both of those items that you'll see there, again, down at the bottom of the water section and at the top of the sewer section. In regards to the private sewer, maybe I'm just misunderstanding what you guys are wanting, but I'll explain what we're doing, and hopefully that will be sufficient. We aren't doing a shared sewer service as originally proposed. We are proposing to install a new sewer service that is exclusively serves the apartments. There is an existing easement for cross utilities on lot 23A. And so that one is covered. And so I do have the connection to the public main in Eagle Rock, as shown here at the southwest corner of lot 23A, but the sewer that crosses lot 23A is being proposed as private, not public. So I don't see why that would need to be listed on the infrastructure list and just the connection. So if you could clarify that, that would be okay.
This is Blaine with the Water Authority. I'm okay with the revisions as shown on the screen regarding the infrastructure list.
Great, thank you.
This is Blaine with the Water Authority. Denise, do you have any comment on the public water line on the lot 23A, whether or not there's an easement to benefit that today, and that relates to the generation of a new paper easement, basically authorizing where it is currently?
This is Denise King. We could not find any documentation for any public water line easement for that water line coming in. So we propose to do the paper easement.
Yeah. Thank you, Denise. Blaine Carter of Water Authority. I think that resolves my questions on that. Regarding the plat, I do think there would be, you know, conditions related to having those paper easements recorded, one before the plat, one after the plat. The one being to the south would be before, the one on site would be after. And that's the extent of the Water Authority's comments for this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carter. Code enforcement.
Carl Garcia with code enforcement. All previous comments have been addressed and code enforcement has no other comments or objections to all the three items.
Parks and Recreation.
Cheryl Sommerfeld with Parks and Recreation. I did have a question about the landscape plan. There's an area next to the clubhouse that is not on the hatch palette, or the number 5 is there, and that doesn't seem to be noted. I was hoping you could clarify that.
Madam Chair, Cheryl, keynote number 5. Let's see. That is synthetic turf.
Okay, thank you. Is that where, what page is that noted on?
That is on the landscape plan, L100. Jay, it's to the left.
Right, I mean the number 5 or the hatch. I've been trying to find it on the page. Okay.
There you go.
Okay. And then my only other comment is that the IDO does require organic mulch for trees. So I was thinking you could just add that as a note as well.
Okay, are we ready for hydrology?
Yes, that's all I have. I didn't know if she wanted to make a comment. Thank you.
Mr. Armijo.
Ernest Armijo, hydrology. Hydrology has an approved conceptual grading and drainage plan with engineer stamp date of February 25th, 2021. We have no objection to the site plan, plat, or vacations.
Thank you. Transportation.
Good morning. This is Jean Wolfenberger with Transportation. The Transportation has no objection to any of the actions, including vacations, plat, infrastructure list, and site plan. We did note the roadway improvements proposed as part of the infrastructure list are sufficient for this action. I did also want to bring up that Mr. Reagan's comments about the parking. I believe I hadn't heard anything from code enforcement or Ms. Fishman with regard to answering questions about that, but the parking, I believe, does meet the IDO with the exception of the deviation requested. So I didn't know if anyone wanted to comment more on that or not.
Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman again. That's correct. The IDO requires 180 spaces. We are showing 174, so the deviation request was for 6 spaces. We provided a justification to code enforcement, and they have approved that deviation.
Okay, and Ms. Fishman, can you just sort of explain while we're talking about this, why you've determined the parking is adequate, and there was a comment made about no visitor spaces, are there visitor spaces?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for it's been a while since I heard the comments, so sorry if I forgot. We have 120 units. And 174 beds. But, we are, again, required to have 180 spaces. We have 174. Mr. Regan is actually incorrect. I mean, the IDO doesn't tell applicants to specifically designate certain spaces for visitors. There's a lot of open spaces in the site. There will also be, we also have garages in the site and surface parking in the site. So we believe it's We, again, it's a deviation of six spaces, and we believe we're following your rules. So I don't agree with Mr. Regan. He did bring that up in our facilitated meeting. We don't think there's a parking problem on the site. We don't tend to look at the on-site parking possibilities for a site like this, but we could have some parking both on Eagle Rock and on Modesto if need be. But we believe that our site plan is addressing all the site parking that we need to have.
This is Chair Wolfley. Ms. Fishman, can you clarify if those garage spaces are counted in your required parking?
Yeah, so I would, Madam Chair, this is Jackie Fishman again. I would point you to the development data on the site plan sheet. We have our parking count. If Jay could pull that up, or I can, either one is fine. It's okay. So in the development data, towards the bottom of that table, you've got the parking requirements. Under residential parking, it says required 180 spaces. We have 115 spaces that are surface. We have six ADA spaces. We have four EV spaces. 26 garages spaces, 23 tandem spaces, for a total of 174 parking spaces. We also have a number of bicycle storage spaces, 18 required, 18 provided.
Okay, and while they're on that note, Ms. Fishman, is there good access from Modesto out to Louisiana on your property?
Yes, I believe it's a straight shot. Let me just look again. Yeah, it's a straight shot out to Louisiana. I'm looking at Google Earth.
Okay. And I had a question for, I guess, you and Ms. Wolfenberger. Can you talk a little bit about the emergency gate? And it seems like it moved and now it's like behind the building to the south. And, you know, maybe first Ms. Wolfenberger, is that location workable?
Yes, this is Jean Wolfenberger with transportation. That location is workable.
Okay, and I thought originally it came out on a drive aisle between the industrial buildings, and now it's coming out like into behind one of the industrial buildings, but you still think that's workable?
And that it would be a secondary access location. The primary access is off of Modesto. I believe there's some history involving moving the location with a previous administration amendment. I'd have to ask for clarification from the applicant.
Madam Chair, this is Shahab Izar. If I may ask something.
Please do.
Can you... Jay, can you point out where this emergency access is, the secondary access, again, on the site plan? So do we have a private access easement through this property to the south?
There's a shared access agreement that was submitted as part of the last application.
Oh, okay, great, thanks for clarification.
Okay, any other comments or questions, Ms. Fishman, related to any of that?
Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman again. No, not at this time.
Okay, thank you. I guess we'll move on to planning comments and I will start those out. As part of the preliminary steps to this project, there was a zoning case. And in the earliest comments, we provided some comments from the zoning case where there was a request to consider with the new MXL zoning that there would be a buffer adjacent to the waste transfer center. I know when you came in for sketch plat, I noticed that you were surrounded on a couple sides by industrial and mentioned that it would be wise to try to buffer from the industrial. We have a current amendment going through City Council to require this in the future because it wasn't anticipated that people would maybe want to build a building so close to industrial if they were the residential user. But I pointed out in planning comments that a fundamental purpose of the IDO is to protect the health, safety, and general welfare of the public. Furthermore, in the IDO, we must consider land uses that exist or have received a building permit on adjacent properties. We've gone through in quite a bit of detail some of the operational characteristics that Solid Waste presented in their testimony. We also note that there hasn't been dialogue between the applicant and the Solid Waste at this point in time. Solid Waste reviews site plans for refuse pickup, and that was done, but it didn't extend to looking at the context. And we feel there could be a improvement in the understanding of these various uses if there was some dialogue between Solid Waste and the applicant team. And therefore, one of our recommendations before going forward was that there would be a meeting between these parties so that whatever practical amendments could be made to the site plan to make this work better could be made. And throughout the experience of COVID, there have been many times when the DRB has extended extra time periods or notice or whatever extensions for developers due to COVID restrictions and things not functioning as they had in the past. And so in that vein, I would hope a consideration might be made on the applicant's part to hold a meeting with Solid Waste since they did not know about either the rezoning of the property or these site plan changes. We've already discussed planning comments related to the STC ratings. The next comment relates to item number 3, the site development plan. The existing site development plan has more than a 40-foot setback from the property line. With the Solid Waste Transfer Center, in consideration of this amendment, staff just notes that the public health of the area to reduce that setback to 5 feet in a new site plan is not furthered. With regard to application 5 and the vacation of the 20-foot public water line easement along the eastern property line, this easement fits within the existing site development plan of setback of 40 feet and provides a beneficial setback from the waste transfer center. At this time, planning staff does not see that there is a net benefit to the public welfare from the vacation of the 20-foot water easement on the western boundary of the site. See IDO 66M3. Comment item number six, there is a large cell tower array on the south property line toward the east end of the parcel. There's been no discussion that I know so far on this from the applicant team about the implications of that array. Planning staff has asked, the wireless telecommunications staff has asked for additional time to review the implication of that array and the proposed apartment layout. So all things considered, staff is recommending one, that there be this meeting between Solid Waste Department and the applicant team. Number two, staff, I sent a memo on Thursday of last week to Ms. Fishman asking if we could have better information on exactly what the property line experience would be. And there's some details in our comments about providing some elevations, sight lines, so that it's just a little bit more clear what the experience is, because we're looking at a lot of things in plan view and we need a little bit more 3D. And so that's a request that you would provide us more information. I'm sure that you've all studied this at length. And if you could use some of the architectural programs like SketchUp to help us kind of understand a little bit more what this would look like in the experience of the apartments on the second and third floors. And a possible area of improvement would be to consider narrowing other landscape areas, some that you maybe have between two buildings, to be able to increase the setback on the west edge of your site. We understand that you've got a very well-designed project. You've got attractive elevations. You've got, you know, nice apartments going in here. The concern is that you are a new, you're a new use in this neighborhood that has a lot of history of being an industrial area. And there have been some conversions over time to residential, and those always present natural conflicts. And placing a building 5 feet on the property line on the most active side of the transfer center is kind of discomforting and doesn't look like a good future combination. And so planning would like just some additional consideration of what can be done. We know there's a lot of reasons you've done things the way you have done them, but there might be just a few modifications that would improve the compatibility between these two uses. And that's what planning is asking me to do. Ms. Fishman?
Yes, Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman again. Couple things to note. If I followed you correctly about the 20-foot easement along the west side, you know, if that easement stayed in place, there would be no landscaping on that edge. So the Water Authority doesn't let us put trees and shrubs in their easement. So I think there is a public benefit to not having the easement there, because now we can landscape the west side of our property. I think in terms of getting better visuals here, I think maybe what my recommendation would be is to do a cross section at this property line, so you could see the relationship of this building to the transfer station building as well. In terms of sound attenuation, if Ryan could, you know, if we could agree to 50 STC, again, I don't know what that means either, but if that sounded like that was agreeable to the architect, he can respond to that. We're willing to do that. And then my question to you all is, how much would be enough for that setback? So, you know, the IDO doesn't have a regulation that we're responding to here. And I think we all recognize that. You know, is a 15-foot setback enough? Because we have a 15-foot setback on the east side, and that's the neighborhood edge provision. And the IDO seems to recognize that 15 feet is usually adequate. Is 15 feet along this side an additional 10? And I'm not committing to that today,
right?
But I just want to get some idea, because I don't want to come back with something else and then you say, oops, not enough. So if you could respond to that, that would be really helpful.
Okay, I appreciate that, Ms. Fishman. I think every foot is extremely helpful. 15 feet would, from my point of view, would be a great improvement and likely acceptable. And when we go to questions, maybe we'll incorporate that into Ms. Holbert's ability to ask a question. Is there anything else before we go to any cross-examination questions? Ms. Fishman?
No, Madam Chair, I don't think so.
And Mr. Rodenbecker, Ms. Gould, is there anything else that you should add to planning comments?
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I would just note regarding the site plan, just to stand
Jay, up. We can't hear you.
Yeah, you fuzzed out there.
This is Jay Rodenbeck. I just add the state regarding the site plan, just a standard comment about needing the actual solid waste signature on the site plan.
And this is Maggie Gould. I don't have anything either.
And Ms. Fishman, one thing I might state is that, you know, your firm is very good at meetings. And if you would have a meeting with solid waste, I think some of that dialogue about setback could be probably covered best in a meeting like that, where options could be looked at and impacts could be looked at simultaneously. Does that sound acceptable?
Madam Chair, yes. I'm assuming I can guess what Ms. Holbert's email is, so I will reach out to her today.
Okay, great. And I think they're agreeable to such a meeting. So let me now circle back. Is there anyone who's given public comment that has a question? I see Mr. Regan with your hand up. And I think we're close to being finished with these cases. I apologize that we've gone over 2 hours. Go ahead, Mr. Regan. If you had some, did you have a question?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I tried to start my video and it doesn't want to start. Ms. Fishman, you made the statement that there will be a lot of open spaces for parking. Could you quantify any of that, or is that simply a wishful, gratuitous statement?
Madam Chair, Mr. Regan, no, it's not a gratuitous statement. There is open parking. I don't know if maybe Ryan, you want to address how many spaces would be assigned and how many spaces are open. We have a very to me, a very detailed parking analysis on the sheet as I read into the record. But Ryan, if you want to add anything to that, I would appreciate it.
Madam Chair, this is Ryan McLean with HPA Architects. Actually, Jackie, I think I would defer to Faisal because the management of the parking is going to be more management related than architecture related, okay. Especially how it's used with the residents. So I would defer to the applicant.
Mr. Kassam, are you still here?
It looks like he's on the call still.
Mr. Kassam?
Hello?
Yes, there was a question they wanted you to answer about managing the parking. Did you hear it?
Can Dan repeat himself, please?
Well, Faisal, Jackie mentioned that there would be lots of open spaces. And I asked if that was just a gratuitous statement because you've got 174 beds. Nobody in their right mind is going to walk where they need to go. Public transportation is not great. And so I'm expecting that there would be at least one vehicle per bed. And I don't think that you guys were not willing to commit.
Okay, Mr. Regan, you're starting into testimony. Okay. Let's go ahead and let Mr. Kassam answer the question.
Okay.
You know, thank you.
We feel that you are citing that there's 174 beds, yes, but there's only 120 apartment units. And usually we only provide one unit per parking stall. You know, we're skewed more with one beds. So I do think overall it is going to be appropriate. You know, we haven't had any issues with any of our other apartment developments, and we're following city guidelines and city code. And so operationally, I think we should be fine. You know, if you want to have more dialogue with Graystar, who is the management company that operates the hotel, I'll be more than happy to give you their number, and then you can have in-depth conversation with them. But we do feel the 174, 180 some odd parking stalls for 120 units is adequate. So,
okay,
Mr.
If I could just, sorry.
Quickly.
Very quickly, yeah. This is Jackie Fishman again. I would point out that 55% of our units are one bedrooms and 45% are two bedrooms. We have no three bedrooms. So, you know, a large percentage of these are just gonna have one vehicle per unit.
Jackie, if
Mr. Regan?
Yes.
This isn't a dialogue. I apologize the way we proceed. Do you have one more question? We kind of need to get moving on here. Do you have any other questions?
Are they willing to put in the lease that only one vehicle per bed will be allowed?
And I just want to clarify, we're talking about bedrooms. Not actual beds.
Okay. Yes.
Just for everyone's purpose, we're talking about bedrooms. Okay. So I think that's probably for Mr. Kassam.
I don't know if I could commit to that because what if I have a person that doesn't need a vehicle, doesn't own a vehicle, but still has a bed, and I have another tenant that has he wants to buy an additional space or rent an additional space. I don't know if I could commit to that. Sorry, Dan. But I operationally, I think it should be fine.
Okay. We're gonna move on here. Ms. Holbert had her hand up and she has an opportunity to ask questions of any of the testimony she has heard.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I just had two hopefully quick questions. It came up the status of the single family homes to the north of the proposed project. And I was curious if the applicant had measured the corner. I mean, you're absolutely correct. We don't directly tie to that property line, but I was curious if the applicant had measured the distance from the closest single family home to our operation, be it the driveway, our property line, and the building, because I think that would really inform this discussion in the future, because we really literally have not had concerns from those residents. So I would say that is a sufficient buffer based on, you know, the real world of those residents already being in their homes. So that's my first question. My second question is based on that.
Let's go ahead and let them answer that so we don't get confused.
Okay.
Ms. Fishman, have you had the opportunity to take that measurement?
No, I could do that, but I have not, Madam Chair. This is Jackie.
Okay, and that might help inform things going forward. Ms. Hobart, a second question?
Yes, one other question is, I saw the notation and the applicant has referred to it about putting on the plans the proximity to the transfer station or the convenience center and noise and dust being possible. I was curious if the apartment residents would see that. I'm not sure how that plays out, you know, on the day-to-day. Would a potential resident see that, or is that only in the planning department that that's noted?
Madam Chair and Jill, that to me, that's a disclosure statement that that the, you know, the leasing office could provide to potential renters. These are renters, and I think anybody going there to rent an apartment would notice that the solid waste facility is next door. But yes, that could be part of the, if it's a part of the rental agreement or whatever, I think people will be aware of that issue.
This is Chair Wolfley. I think that could be a good addition because they may not visit the property when operations were going on and not fully be aware when they were renting what they were going to be experiencing. So Ms. Hobart, do you have any other questions?
No, I just want to basically echo that I think that's a really positive thing if the renter is aware of that statement. Again, I don't know what they're going to see or not see if they visit at night, if they visit off hours, but I think it would be an excellent idea that they are informed when they sign a rental agreement.
Okay. And I would assume, Ms. Hulbert, that you're willing to meet with the applicant team to talk about compatibility measures?
Yes. Yes, I am, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay. I think the place that we're at is to look at a deferral of these three cases, item 3, 4, and 5. Do you have a recommended time frame, Ms. Fishman?
Madam Chair, Jackie Fishman here again. I think the main issue is to have a discussion with Jill Hulbert from Solid Waste, and then explore the issue of squeezing our buildings together closer and seeing if that works from a grading standpoint, because those areas are intended to take up some grade. So, I would ask Jeremy if that's, you know, if we should ask for a 1 week deferral or a 2 week deferral. I want to minimize the deferral, but I also want to be
understand. Yeah. What be realistic.
Do.
I would recommend a 2 week just because a 1 week really is from now to Friday. If things are changed, which is really not much time to make productive progress. So I would highly recommend at least a 2 week deferral.
Madam Chair, this is Shah Azar.
So I just wanted to emphasize that if changes are being made to the grading plan, that needs to be resubmitted to hydrology for reapproval.
Right, that does mess us up, so. Okay.
So Ms. Fishman, next week is the 28th, 2 weeks away is the 5th, 3 weeks away is the 12th of May.
Madam Chair, I'm gonna stick to the 2 weeks.
Okay, is there a motion to defer items 3, 4, and 5 for PR 2019-2761 to May 5th?
Lane Carter with the Water Authority, so moved.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec seconds.
Please vote.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Cheryl Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Ernest Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to defer items 3, 4, and 5, which are PR 2019-2761, SI 2021-255 site plan amendment, SI 2021-256 site plan, SD 2021-53 preliminary final plat, SD 2019-56 vacation of public water easement, SD 2019-55 vacation of I'm sorry, that last one was a gas easement. This one is a water easement for 55. And SD 2021-54 is a vacation of a PNM ST&T easement to May 5th, 2021. Okay, thank you everyone for your time. I'm sure it will all work to a good outcome. Thank you very much, Ms. Fishman, for your cooperation, and Ms. Hobart as well, and Mr. Regan, and the rest of the applicant team.
Thank you.
Okay, we need to take a recess to just refresh, and let's see, it's 11:35. Let's take a 15 minute, would that put us at 11:50? Is there a motion to, see if I have my math right. Is there a motion to recess until 11:50? And at that point we will take up item number 6.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, so moved.
Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec seconds.
Please vote.
Lane Carter, Water Authority, I approve.
Carl Garcia with Code Enforcement, I approve.
Joel Sommerfeld, Parks and Rec, I approve.
Curtis Armijo, Hydrology, I approve.
Jane Wolfenberger with Transportation, I approve.
And Jolene Wolfley, DRB Chair, approves. There's a consensus vote of the DRB to recess until 11:50. We will be on item number 6, 25 Hotel Circle. Please turn off your cameras and your mute yourself during the break. We'll see you back at 11:50 sharp. Thank you.